And the reading for this morning is from Genesis 1 into the beginning of Genesis 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from the water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, may the understanding of your word burn within us like a beacon to guide others to your most gracious and everlasting light. Amen. Well, it's a delight to be here. I can see at least two or three faces I've not recognised before, and one, my brother, who says he's never heard me preach before, and he's older than me, so he'll be giving me marks out of 10. So, as my brother Alan and I sat one morning this last week having breakfast, looking out over the garden, a blackbird flew down onto the grass. I cannot call it a lawn. And it was hopping around looking for a juicy worm to take back to its brood. It was successful and flew off back to its nest. The blackbird was doing what God had created it for, to feed and care for its young. We, the Bible says, are all made in God's image to live as he intended, to allow him to guide us into helping him to make a difference in the world. Here in Starbeck, in our families, in our homes, and in our work, both paid and unpaid. God has all the resources we need to draw on. Like the blackbird, God provides for all the birds of the air, and he will provide for us when we need providing for. We need to be in the right place at the right time for God to use us. God places us where he wants us to be. Nothing is by chance. Everything happens through his divine plan for us. And when that happens, we can relax in his presence, not rushing around hither and thither. Let God be our pacemaker. But you may argue that this is wishful thinking. Most of us have enough proof of life's difficulties in our own lives. Tragic accidents occur. Illness robs us of well-being. The processes of decay inherent in aging take their toll. If our own experience provides insufficient evidence, we only need to hear or see the news broadcasts. Poverty, refugees, environmental disasters and so-called acts of God wreak havoc, and the foundations of our own society appear to be crumbling. dare I use the word, Brexit. What then do we make of God's sevenfold affirmation of every aspect of creation? It was good. The truth is that all suffering in this world takes place during the phase of life that occurs between the absolute perfection of original creation and the complete restoration of the flawless creation still to come, as foretold in Isaiah 25 verse 8. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. And from Revelation 21, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Our Lord Jesus Christ was never hurried, flurried, or worried. All his work for his Father was done as and when directed by him. And we too can live in peace in this chaotic, hustling, bustling world if we allow God to take full control of us, and we will see the difference. But you might ask, what work exactly does God want us to do? He has given us all interests and gifts which need developing with the help of God and our friends, both Christian and non-Christian. God uses our gifts if we will let him. We supply the willingness, he supplies the power to do his work. So to do something in his strength makes all the difference. It will give us the confidence to move on. God accepts us as we are, which is wonderful, but he loves us too much to leave us there. He wants us to grow and develop spiritually. There are several ways we can do this. We can attend an Alpha course or the series of talks each year in the Harrogate area, or if you feel the call to seek ordination, or even as I did some 27 years ago, after realising that my faith was not developing, I asked our then vicar what I should do, and he suggested I could apply to be a reader. At that time we had at least 3 or 4 readers here. And the way he said it, it will either make or break your faith. So for 3 years I studied and was assessed, and for the last 23 years I've been trying to help congregations make some sense of the gospel. Only you know if I make any sense, and perhaps God knows as well. The book from which this series of sermons is based has for this day's study, apart from the creation story in Genesis, it refers to Paul's letter to the Colossians towards the end of chapter 3, where he gives some practical advice concerning the key relationships in the family and wider society. The life of Christ needs expression here too, and if allowed its way, will transform how people relate to one another. Behind his advice are some key principles. First, the lordship of Christ. Life in the kingdom of God is not lived selfishly, but in submission to Christ. Followers of Jesus want to honour him in every way. Secondly, kingdom living requires mutual care and responsibility. We relate together on the basis of love, with respect and submission to one another. We have different roles and responsibilities and happily take the place God gives to us. Healthy family life is vital for the whole of society. In the Christian family, fathers have a responsibility to nurture both their spouse and their children. They are to create a climate of loving acceptance where family members can flourish, each one seeking to please the Lord. Given this security, wives and children can cooperate with them so that together they can glorify God as a family. At work, a similar mutuality exists. Christian employees know that they are actually serving Christ in what they do, so they work honestly and conscientiously, recognizing that work is a spiritual activity. Christian employers likewise seek to please God in the way that they treat their staff and manage with consideration and kindness. The two together make for an ideal workplace. I have to say, though, that during my long career on the railways, I didn't recall this ideal situation ever being reached. Jesus puts it like this: in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Notice that he does not say, let your light shine before others, that they may see you and glorify your Father in heaven. It is the deeds he refers to. Our deeds are important. Jesus wants our work to result in people praising his Father. So our prayer for our work, whether paid or voluntary, is not only that we might do it well, that it might serve other people, but that God might be praised. And this should radically alter how we might see ordinary, everyday tasks. Praise, after all, is not just the acknowledgement that Jesus is Lord. Demons know that. No, you cannot praise God unless you have some inkling of who he is and why he is worthy of praise. You can't praise God unless you believe in him as good. So our daily tasks have a conversionist motive in themselves, that they will cause people to praise God. Our tasks may achieve many things, but they are also a component of God's evangelistic strategy. They are not all of it. People need to hear the good news, but our deeds are part of it. Back in our Genesis passage, we must try and relate it to today's world. In our 24/7 culture, many jobs may not give the satisfaction of having truly finished a task. We can feel as if we are on a treadmill with none of the ebb and flow that characterized the life of Christ. No pause for thanksgiving and well-earned rest, just a relentless grind until we make it to the next holiday or burn out. God initiated the Sabbath as part of the divine order for creation. It was to be a model for all time and all people, a principle of such foundational importance that God put it in the Ten Commandments. The Bible tells us little about what we are to do on the Sabbath, but when we respect it and find ways to express our gratitude and love to our Creator, we will find our souls are nourished and our joy replenished. So, on the next Monday, be positive. Perhaps God is inviting us into a different kind of adventure in our daily living. Not just a call to a different attitude, but a different set of possibilities. What might happen if we invite God into our tasks, the ones we find difficult and the ones we find easy? What annoying things might happen if we ask Jesus to come into things we already do quite well, actually? Might it just be a tiny bit better? Might it be an awful lot better? Might the response of others be much more positive? Might he teach us something? Might he do a miracle? When God gets involved in our tasks on the front line, who knows what might happen? And a prayer for this moment. Father, grant us this day your wisdom, your strength, your spirit, to help us to do all we do for you, that it may be helpful to others, bring contentment to our hearts, and glory to your name. Amen.